You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We are visiting at CPAC with some of the glitterati of the constitutional and conservative movement in America, among which I consider to be a prominent celebrity, our own Fred Flights, a career intelligence professional who has served his country with great distinction in a number of capacities at the Central Intelligence Agency as Chief of Staff to Ambassador John Bolton at the State Department and as a professional staff member on the House Intelligence Committee. He is our Senior Vice President for Policy and Programs and a regular featured contributor to our program, as well as Fox News and Newsmax and many other outlets, the author of Obama Bomb, a dangerous and growing national security fraud, and a forthcoming book, soon to be released, on North Korea. Fred Flights, it's good to have you with us here at CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference. As we speak, we are underway here. As we air, we will have left it behind us, but it's very good to catch up with you and to take stock of a little bit of the action here, particularly comments that Vice President Pence made today on the future prospects for the Iran deal. Tell us what you made of what he said. First of all, what he said and what you made of it.
Frank, it's great to be here. This is really an exciting conference. There's so much energy here. Well, Vice President Pence had some great comments on national security, and on Iran, he said that the administration is not going to certify the nuclear deal again. There's a decision coming up again where the president is going to have to make a decision. But what I think is coming here is the president is going to have to decide, is the U.S. going to remain in this agreement? And he seemed to reluctantly agree to do this last time. And I'm told from someone who met with the president in December, the reason for that might have been that he did not want to deal with the crisis in North Korea and Iran at the same time, but that he is going to get out of the Iran deal soon. And I know that's something the Center for Security Policy, we're trying to make the message that it's just imperative that the president back out of this fraudulent deal. I think the vice president seemed to be leaning in that direction, and that's what I hope happens.
Well, explain, Fred, why it is important to get out of the deal. There of course, have been those, and the president seemed to have gone along with this in that last cycle, that it can be fixed. If only we negotiate long enough and hard enough, we'll be able to make improvements that are needed to make it in our interest, as we were told it was, but of course fraudulently so. You don't buy that, but why?
It's just so frustrating. This is a deeply flawed deal that allows Iran to continue to enrich uranium while the deal is in effect with over 5,000 centrifuges. And all these people around town, a lot of them conservatives, keep saying, well, we can fix the deal by extending its duration, by making Iran let IAEA inspectors into military sites, which Iran will never do. But they never talk about the enrichment problem. They never talk about the fact that Iran will be given a reactor that will be able to produce plutonium, which is the preferred nuclear weapons fuel. It can't be fixed. And the president is really being sold a bill of goods by so many senior advisors who keep saying this. And the reason is a lot of these people are more worried about offending the Europeans than they are doing the right thing, of getting rid of a deal that contained outrageous compromises of our national security principles and values by the Obama administration. We have to kill this deal, and that's what I hope the president will do.
As you're speaking about this, of course, there is a continuing pressure being exerted on the president by H.R. McMaster, who I believe has been instrumental in promoting, first, the idea that we should continue to certify the deal is in our interest, is being complied with, and the rest, then has promoted this idea that the deal could be fixed. But again, another fraud. There are reports, as we're speaking, Fred Flights, that his tenure as the National Security Advisor to the president may be about up, which I would consider to be a very good thing. Obviously, in part, that will depend on the replacement, but reflect, if you would, on his tenure in that job, General McMaster, and why his departure actually is necessary for the president to execute the national security strategy that ironically was written up under McMaster's stewardship, but is it seemingly not his agenda at all.
Well, you know, as an Army officer who's dedicated his career and life to this country, I don't want to criticize him personally, but I got to tell you, Frank, he seems to be out of sync with almost everything that Mr. Trump said he would do as president, from resisting references to the global jihad movement, radical Islam, and pushing basically the foreign policy establishment's view on this Iran deal. It isn't what the president campaigned on. Just the other day, he made statements about Russian collusion in the election that left out the fact that the indictment of last week said that there was no evidence that anyone in the campaign wittily participated. The president sent out a tweet. He was justifiably angry about that. Why is the National Security Advisor making statements that's making the president's job more difficult?
That raises the question, of course, of who may come next. Fred, I mentioned that you have in a previous life served with Ambassador Bolton. And he's, I'll make no secret of it, my personal choice. That perhaps the kiss of death for his candidacy. But we saw him here at CPAC today. I'll be appearing with him on a panel tomorrow. But I'm wondering what you make of the kind of attributes that you've had a chance to see close at hand during his tenure at the State Department when you served as his chief of staff, and how good a fit that might be for this president.
I think he'd be an excellent fit. He seems to be in sync with all the president's national security priorities. He's tough. He's loyal. He speaks truth to power. If he has a difference, I think he would speak to the president, but he'd speak to him privately. He wouldn't go and leak it to the press. I think he has a sophisticated understanding of the major national security threats in this country. He's exactly right on the Iran deal. He wants to keep it. He's been pushing the president's position on this from day one. He's constantly defending the president on television. And we see some of these people on TV, Frank. He's not a rah-rah guy who's just backing the president without thinking. He's giving a reasoned defense of what the president is doing to keep our nation safe. Again, that's why I think he would be an excellent fit, and I hope he gets a chance to serve in that position.
I do as well, Fred. And you know, one of the other things that I think would distinguish him is he's also been through the wars of the bureaucracies of previous administrations,
right,
who have not always served the president who was their superior. And it's that kind of skill set, as well as you say, the clear acumen on the substance of the matters of the day, that I think will make him an extremely strong candidate. And I hope that he will, in fact, emerge as the choice. Fred, lastly, as we're talking about this, there is, unfortunately, evidence that the North Korean situation is going to require the president's urgent attention. Your new book is going to be out very shortly. I'm keen to hear what your thoughts are on how the president should deal with this North Korean challenge as it's teeing up now.
Well, I'm very happy to see that the president and the vice president weren't fooled by this charm offensive that the North Koreans put forward at the Olympics. And I don't think the South Korean president, President Moon, was either. I think the president's found a way to keep President Moon in our orbit. Looks like we're going to keep up the pressure. We'll let the two Koreas talk if they want. We've made it clear there's not going to be any incentives. Just we're talking. You have to denuclearize. And while we're doing these things, we are significantly stepping up the pressure. The vice president met with defectors during the Olympics and made it clear to North Korea nothing has changed, nothing will change until you agree to talks to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, Fred Flights, I hope that's how it in fact plays out. Thank you, Fred, as well for your extended service to our country in addition to what you just contributed to our understanding of so many of these problems. We look forward to talking with you again next week, and thank you for being part of CPAC 2018.